Okay.
The power lines went out, and I am all alone. But I don't really care at all, not answering my phone.
All the games you played, the promises you made, couldn't finish what you started, only darkness still remains.
Lost sight, couldn't see, when it was you and me.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
We are Josh and Ed, and Jen cannot join us tonight for this episode of Gleeful Podcast, but we thank you for joining us. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com, on Twitter. I changed my Twitter name, Ed.
Uh-oh, to what?
So,
did I even know?
I'm Josh Purnell.
You know what's crazy? I saw that and I didn't even question it. I was like, obviously I knew it was you. And for some reason, I didn't see it as, like, being different.
So, like, a million years ago, when they first started AOL, that suddenly I felt extremely old. But
I was on AOL 3.0, I remember.
I was one of the first, I think, 200,000 members of AOL. My mother came into my room one day, and she was like, you should do this. It was, like, the only time she's ever said that. She was like, this would be good for you. So I went on AOL, and at the time, your username had to be like under 12 characters long. And so at the time, I was listening to a lot of Elvis music. And there was this number one song on the radio by George Jones that was called High Tech Redneck. And that was too many letters. So I shortened it to High Tech Elvis. And I became High Tech Elvis for a very long time. But then since we've been doing the podcast and, you know, I've been like doing professional stuff, people are like, what are you on Twitter? And I say, I'm High Tech Elvis. And no one knows how to spell it. Or so
it's weird. I mean, when making my Twitter handle, I was like, I could do something, but I'll just do my name because I'm just going to do my name.
There you go. Yeah, you can find me at Josh Purnell, Ed's at Edward Giugiano. Jennifer's not with us. If this is your first episode listening to Gleeful Podcast, you should go listen to another one.
We're not going to bring the goods. I mean, I would say listen to this one and listen to
exactly. No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. You should, after you listen to this one, you should immediately listen to another.
It makes it like you're implying, like, stop what you're doing. Pick up another one.
I'm about to ruin
this one.
The rhythm and the style that you used to.
Josh's voice is sweet. My voice is sweeter, but like we'll be fine.
We're bringing it this week, Guy Style. We're going to talk about the top five least favorite songs we have from this season two of Glee. And then we will talk a little bit.
I want to make a note about that.
Oh, okay.
You say least favorite.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. That could be how you grade yours, but for my five, they were the least successful for a moment that could have been.
Interesting. Well, we will definitely talk more about that. We also have some listeners that are weighing in, and you know, the big news in the Gleeverse this week is that the writers went back to work on Monday, and our countdown is on. I believe it's 84 days until season 3 premieres. So the writers are back at work. Things are already starting to happen.
That's crazy soon. Like at this bar I go to all the time, Nine Inch Brothers, holla. They have this thing that's countdown to. It's
drink.
Always up. It's always up. The countdown to St. Patrick's Day. So it's like ridiculous amounts of days almost all the time. So like 84 days. That actually seems quite close. In all honesty,
it does. It's less than 3 months away, and I kind of did that math in my head, and I'm like, wow, it feels like Glee just ended. I mean, mind you, we do a podcast about it.
I think last week, like, brought us the entire season in, like, an episode.
True.
So it's like we're still living in, like, a world.
What's funny is, as much as last week brought us, like you said, the whole season in an episode, this week on the podcast, I feel like a lot of people's least favorite songs were concentrated in certain episodes. And a lot of people citing songs from multiple songs from the same episode. That's kind of interesting.
I have two songs from the same episode, and three of my songs in my five are in two episodes next to each other. So maybe
maybe I'm onto something.
Maybe this season was a roller coaster that would have benefited from being all together. Unfortunately, it wasn't. So,
yeah, I mean, I think we're going to talk about season two. Obviously, we're going to talk about it for the next 84 days. But
honestly, I feel like the Christmas episode isn't canon. Like when I was looking at the I can't pick any of them out as a favorite. I can't pick any one out as a terrible. They're just it just didn't happen.
Well, you make a really good point, Everybody Drink, because a lot of the stuff that happened in that, the mechanized legs, the, you know, stuff that that Sue did for the Glee kids kind of never came up again. It was kind of a standalone episode, but there were a couple of those this season. I mean, there were a couple episodes that didn't really further the plot along. Like the Rocky Horror episode was kind of its own, you know, kind of
but
an encapsulated world.
See, the difference is the music was so good that it was okay. That it was like... like as I say, whenever we have a new person at work, I'll accept you if you're nice or a hard worker, either way, like preferably both. But as long as you're one or the other, I will take you. And and in the show, I'll take Glee if it's great music or if it's great story. I prefer both, but I'll take one or the other, and I still accept it. And when it comes to the Christmas episode, it wasn't a great story and it wasn't great music. So it's I don't take it. So.
And so that was so did either of those fit to the Rocky Horror, the Christmas episodes, or that was just in general?
No, that neither of those fit to, like, it wasn't a great story and it wasn't great music, so therefore the episode didn't happen.
Exactly.
Like, I'll take one or the other, preferably both, but neither happened.
Interesting. That's a really good read. Well, this happened this week, and we should go ahead and take a listen to it. So for Canadian listeners, I believe you are a week behind or 2 weeks behind on the Glee Project. So if you want to skip our Glee Project discussion, just kind of jump ahead about 10 minutes.
If you just don't watch the Glee Project and don't really care.
Yeah, if you just...
Well.
Good point. So a lot of talk about the Glee Project. A couple crazy things happened this week. One is that Lindsay called the Universal City Walk a little like Times Square in New York, which... made me throw up a little bit in my mouth.
Why are you so? What does that do that to you?
Have you been to the City Walk?
Have I been to the City Walk? Because you're more the person to ask if I've been there.
I live about four blocks from City
Didn't
Walk.
Did you go there? Didn't we? I swear I recognize that fountain. I swear.
I might have taken you there when you were
I
out
swear
here.
That's where I swear we went there.
City. I mean, comparing City Walk to Times Square, New York. I mean, it's essentially like saying. This mall is a lot like Times Square, New York. Like, it just blew my mind that she would ever make that statement.
It's a pretty, I mean, it's somewhat iconic. It's not Times Square, but, you know, whatever. It's Glee Project size.
Anyway.
New York finale.
So there you go.
It's kind of legit. It's kind of legit.
It's the one that we can shut down for very little money because no one goes there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the theme was vulnerability this week, And we haven't really figured out how to talk about the Glee Project yet, but we can just dive right in.
Okay, I think we just muddle through it, and if we just muddle through it long enough, it'll just be over.
Is that how you feel about it? Like, are you not connected to the show at all?
It's the confessionals with the two bright lights, the centered and the colored background and the editing. I still can't get through a whole episode in a sitting. Like, it took me over 8 hours to watch the episode, but there was like a 6 hour nap in between. So, I mean, it's not really as tragic as it sounds, but it's just so frustrating. And the judges seem to have an issue with seeing the bigger potential in people and not just this week. Like, you can judge this week. You can't judge this week as just this week. Like, you have to take into account everything. So,
well, it's hard. I think I kind of understand what you're saying. The biggest issue I'm having with the show right now is the last 3 weeks, the person who goes home to me has been no better or worse than anyone else. I don't want to say they're all even. There are people that I like more than others, but I feel like because the prize is not a recording contract, like, we're not looking for the quote unquote best singer or the best performer. They're like, Ryan Murphy is looking someone he could cast.
It's turning into a competition of, we're trying to make sure that you're not the worst at each of these 11 topics. Just don't be the worst.
It's just kind of from week to week because
exactly.
Emily was not. Emily was eliminated this week. Spoiler alert.
I think it was unfair. I feel two of the three eliminations, and I would almost argue all three eliminations were unfair. Ellis, I'm back and forth on, but she's the one I'm most happy with that elimination.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know what the judges are really looking for because, like, week one, I'm looking at the bottom three, and I'm just trying to say, like, well, you know, week one, Bryce was so, if nothing else, Bryce was like nobody else on that show, and he certainly wasn't the worst one, but they're all kind of even, so it's hard to really find a worst one. And then this week with Emily, I didn't understand that at all.
I really felt that despite Damien's well performance this week, that he should have been the one to go home again.
I totally agree. I thought that Damien, I mean,
didn't blow me away the way they were blown away. I wasn't as blown away with it. I was like, it was good. But Emily, I thought, brought it. Cameron was too good to be in the bottom three, frankly. Like, no matter what you say, his problem is that he doesn't have flaws. Well, calm down, people. Like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I'm not really sure I don't feel involved in the decision making at all.
You're not voting. You're not voting.
Yeah. Well, no, but not even that. If anything else, like, even when you're not voting, if you're watching a show and the show makes a case for the person who goes home and that case makes sense, then you will be on board with, you know, the concepts. And if the show has a really definitive structure where it's like, we are looking for quote unquote the best singer, then you are really invested in, like, oh, that was the best singer or that wasn't the best singer. And so you feel a part of it. I don't feel a part of this because
best character for Ryan Murphy to write to. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what Ryan Murphy's looking for. His decisions thus far have seemed kind of random.
I think part of the flaw is that Ryan Murphy is not involved with the music video or the preliminary. Like, yeah, he's only there during Last Chance performances. That's the only time he can get input from these people. So yeah, he's gonna grow attachment to Damien, who he's actually seen twice.
Yeah,
compared to other people. Like, it's a heavy handed for people who like meander in the bottom three.
So, but let's talk about a couple good things. I do, thus far, I've liked all three of the group songs, Mad World, Firework, and We're Not Gonna Take It. I do think those are really fun, and it's fun to have an artifact that comes out of the show. It's fun that each episode we are going to get a music video.
That's where the show is the most successful.
Yeah, I definitely like that. Somebody had mentioned in the Twitter here, Sapien Venificus, that the true star of that show is Zach Woodley. Zach Woodley is hilarious on that show. He's no holds barred, but he's funny about it and he's supportive. I find him wildly entertaining on that show. So do you have a favorite right now, Ed? Has your favorite changed?
Okay, I don't want to be this misconstrued at all, but before I want to emphasize before the like in when I was watching the first half of the episode, like the 20 minutes before, mm-hmm. like during Marissa's solo during please don't leave me, I really felt something for the first time from her, and I was like, you know, I kind of like you. And then I feel like the whole anorexic thing was, I mean, like the editing made it all kind of contrived. And
it did feel
like I don't want to be like, that's the reason I like it. Because I like her despite the editing that was done to her to make me like her.
But at the same time, if she'd gone out there with a poster board that said flawed, like that no producer came up to her and was like, honey, no, you can't go out with a poster board that says flawed when somebody's standing right, next to you.
That's
what
you
gay.
Feel, and that's what you feel. I was trying to come up with my thing, and I couldn't come up with a word. I mean, I know the phrase, but I don't know. Like, in real life, I feel like I'm always struggling to be taken seriously. So I'm like not taking seriously, but that's not a word. I don't know what that word would be.
Obviously, my board would just be blank.
Oh, because you have no flaws. Or you're just
that was a little funny, right?
I mean,
it's so weird to make a joke like that and not have Jennifer here to roll her eyes at me. Like, I feel a little empty without someone rolling their eyes at me.
And like, I'm not to say that Alex didn't connect with gay as a word, but I felt that was kind of surface. I felt Hannah's was kind of surface. Like, lots of people were kind of surface with their problems. Yeah. And they were rewarded with for it, and then you have people who then you have Cameron on the other hand who might not have a spot like a real problem, and he's punished for that. I'm like, well, I mean, just because he doesn't have a service problem, like okay, like that's not really fair either.
The issue, I think, especially with these flaws thing, the first issue I really had with this episode was you put everybody in a room and then you have them go around the circle and say, what's your flaw? And it's human nature, and especially with the performers, it becomes a contest to see, to like have each person top the flaw of the person before them. So when they get to Emily with her, where she said that she'd been abused by record producers, it was like, it was like at this point she couldn't just say I don't like my teeth. Like, she has to top the person before her, and that felt really manipulative and kind of like emotionally damaging in a way. Like, it actually struck me as a bit cruel. But the real, you know, the real issues we have with ourselves, like the real insecurities that, you know, we have to go to therapy for, aren't a single word that you can put on a poster board. And so, as frustrated as I am with people like Cameron who wrote Misunderstood, and I'm like, really?
I feel for them. Like this is, I don't know. like it isn't like the characters themselves came up with it. The writers came up with their things, and some of them weren't that good on their t-shirts.
Oh, so, you think the writers were kind of like, tell me a little about yourself. Okay, this is your flaw.
Like, yeah, no. It's just, whatever.
Well, we got this message. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this.
Hi, it's listener Stephanie and Ashley, who is the Steph Set and Miss Rock Steady on Twitter.
We're cousins.
Yeah, we're cousins. I don't know if you remember us from whenever we did do our input. Yeah.
Any of the Twitter.
So, first, we want to comment on the Glee Project. We love Cameron, and we want him to win, and we think he should win, but fun fact, Ryan Murphy only follows Mateus, so I have a feeling he wins.
I believe they mean on Twitter.
Top, yeah.
Cam and Lindsay.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as I love Mateus, I want Cameron to win, but Ryan Murphy only follows him, so I feel like that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
But anyway, who do you guys want to win? Who do you guys think would win?
Ed, who do you want to win at this point in the show? Who do you think will win?
At this point in the show, I feel like Ryan Murphy was not buying the juice that Cameron was selling, like, for real. And I feel like Lindsay, although could be a good mix for the show, isn't right enough. I'm Samuel's the one who's kind of like Jason Castro-like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like dreadlocks. I mean, not actually. He's. I feel like him and Marissa are dark horses. So, though, like, my obvious two are Cameron Lindsay. My next two are Marissa Samuel. And then that's pretty much. That's my four. If I had to.
I know earlier in the show I've been, you know, team Cameron and Lindsay to sound all internet. But I go back and forth. I still really like Cameron, but I almost get what Ryan is saying. Maybe I'm just drinking the coffee, but or the Kool-Aid.
The Kool-Aid.
That's what I drink. That was coffee. I spiked my coffee. And I find Lindsay so wildly obnoxious right now. Like I want to smack her. And so
really,
she were to win.
I'm not annoyed by her. Maybe I should be. And maybe this is like Jackie Tone syndrome, and it's gonna take me like 3 weeks to get annoyed. But maybe not.
I'm not watching that show. I would say right now I'm kind of a man without a country. Like right now I'm not really connected to any of them. I kind of look at them all and I'd be like,
Mateus is heading towards a win, but I don't really want him to win. Like I have no desire for him to win.
I think the problem I have with this the show as it is right now is as a writer, I look at them and I think I could write a character for all of you. So why don't you just let me pick which one I want to write the most? And then you can all like, you don't have to go through all this drama and crying. A part of me is kind of like, just let Ryan look at them all and be like, this is the story that I think will be the most interesting. We'll just save ourselves the next 10 weeks. I know that's not going to happen. And
well, I mean, okay. The reason why on Project Runway, they don't let people make outfits. Then everyone gets to do a collection at the end and they choose the collection regardless of the previous things. It's the drama of building the show. Someone has to be eliminated every week. Just for the fear, it's like just because that's what we come to expect. We come to expect a gradual progression, at the very least, gradual progression. And if we're not getting that, it's like nothing's happening. Even though stuff is happening. I don't know. I wish it was more. I've always teetered with the idea of, you know, how they go from 12 to 11 on Idol or 12 to 11 on Glee Project, where they would choose the top three from the 12 who performed the best, and then Ryan Murphy would choose one of them to make the final six, and then the 11 would compete again. The 11 who weren't selected would compete again, the top three from that, and then Ryan would select one again, and then you would be, so it would take 6 weeks to build a top six, just the same way. Instead of eliminating people, you're plucking.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a diagram. It's cool though. I understand what you mean.
If it takes 6 weeks to go from 12 to six, instead of going from eliminating, picking one a week that deserves to be in the top six.
It's an interesting idea. Yeah, it's kind of a more positive way to go. Having people fight to be the best rather than fight not to be the worst.
It makes the people who make it. I feel like instead of Station Mercado falling into the top three, it's more like you're being chosen.
That's an interesting idea. Irish Mike says Josh is that my poster board would say needs a lot of diagrams. I'm an extremely visual thinker. I didn't do very well in school. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this, shall we? Computer.
Computer?
Here it comes.
Why did I ever leave Ohio? Why did I wander to find what lies yonder when life was so cozy at home? Wondering while I wonder, why did I fly? Why did roam. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, did I leave Ohio? Maybe I better go. Oh, H-I-O. Maybe I better go. Oh.
So we put up on Glee, on the, Twitter, over at Gleeful Podcast, and on the Facebook fan page, tell us your top five least favorite songs for season two. And we got lots of responses. I have to say, overwhelmingly, this was the most common response. And I did not do a spreadsheet this time.
It's not bottom five. It's not even in there. It didn't even make my short list. I guess, I don't know. It was like, whatever.
This one made my short list, but it was certainly not... It didn't make my top five least favorite, but it was in my short list. For me, what saved it was I love Carol Burnett, and I just couldn't go. And I thought it had a lot of plot significance, though. I think for the normal listener of this show, this song's probably not what they're coming to Glee for. But Ed, you had a kind of a different interpretation of what colored your top five, like how you chose your top five least favorites. Ed? I think we lost him. See, usually right now I would talk to Jennifer, but I don't have Jennifer to talk to. I'm going to see if I can get Ed back. Yes, I did not make a spreadsheet.
I'm back.
Oh! Just as I hung up on him. No, I did not make a spreadsheet this time. I just kind of did it informally this time because I thought it would be a little more... I didn't have time. That's what I came down to.
It's my phone was ringing. That's why I...
I
muted myself, and you're like, why are you disconnecting this? Fine, I muted myself.
I didn't know. I asked you a question. You didn't respond.
Oh, I thought you heard the ring, so...
So Ed, you had said you had a slightly different interpretation, or you had a certain methodology with how you picked your top five least favorites.
Yes. I chose least successful songs that could have been moments that weren't moments.
Okay. Yeah.
It was like, when looking through it, I'm like, well, even songs I don't like, I mean, just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not good. And these five songs that I chose were moments that could have been and weren't. So
interesting. For me I think it was kind of a mix of I thought it was songs that were just to me immemorable, like ones I actually had to look up and go, oh wait, they did that.
See, and I couldn't count that against it because there's so many songs in Glee, so yeah.
And then I also kind of weighed on the side of songs that I thought were just too obvious. Like, there at least two of them on my list were songs that I just thought Glee should try a little harder, because they've done so well picking unexpected songs, or picking expected songs but doing them in unexpected ways. And there were a couple times where I just thought it was very lazy. That didn't quite go. But Ed, do you want to go ahead and give us your number five?
Oh, yes. Hold on, I got distracted.
Or if you have no order, mine are not really in an order.
Oh, okay. My number five is This Little Light of Mine.
Ah, and why was that in your number five?
Because it was trying to be a touching moment, and it was too forced.
Let me see if I can find... I do not have that one on my computer.
Well,
so I will be unable to play it. But you just thought that, you know, them being there... It seemed very out of character.
Well, yeah, it was two. It felt awkward. It felt like they were, like, trying to write Sue to have, like, some kind of Emmy-winning moment, and it just... flopped. It wasn't what it could have been, and that's why I have it as number five.
It was one of the moments in the season that to me kind of like you said, it was kind of their Emmy moment where they were like, this one's gonna get us awards, this is the one people are gonna remember. And it also bothered me that it was one of the moments where, which we got a couple of these this season, where Will and Sue were, you know, had these like unequivocal, you know, emotional connections, and then 30 seconds later they'd be quarreling again. I'm like, I don't know. I need you to kind of like find an arc. You can't just go back and forth from moment to moment. Well, my number five, I did just put them in order. My number five was...
Good job.
Thank you. My number five is this song, the cover of Paramore's The Only Exception.
Really? I mean, okay, yeah. Well, I want to know why, because I mean, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. Like, it is not a bottom five at all.
Let's go ahead and take a quick listen to The Only Exception, performed by Lea Michele on the Gleeful Podcast.
When I was younger, I saw my daddy cry and curse at the wind. He broke his own heart as I watched as he tried to reassemble it. My mama swore she would never let herself forget. And that was the day that I promised I'd never sing of love if it does not exist. But darling, you are the only exception.
For me, I think I watching the episode, this kind of was just tacked on at the end. And
that,
Lea Michele,
100% agree with that.
She has a couple of these that are just kind of like the plot ends and then she does one last song. And this one is kind of weird. I mean, yeah, it comes at the end of the Britney episode, I think, which was also very strange.
Yeah, it was the only non-Britney song the entire episode.
So that bugged me. And honestly, I mean, and totally, the reason it's at the top five is, or the reason it's number five is that straight up, I just really dislike this song. And so I have that problem with it.
Okay.
But it was so obvious.
You just don't want Paramore to be successful. I think at your heart, you want them to be indie. And they're not.
But they're not indie at all. No, I don't think they want... I don't want them to be indie at all. I have every Paramore record, including the first one, which is totally crappy. I really like Paramore, but I still think that this is just a really lazy song writing-wise. And then on the show, it just seemed kind of obvious to pick
it, up. It's one of their... It's. I think it is their biggest radio hit. Like,
oh, without a doubt. Well, yeah, but, I mean, your ballad... You know, Power Ballad is always your biggest radio hit. That's not a new thing.
I mean, Misery Business was their biggest one before this one. So,
really, I would say it was like Crush, or no, it would be. Anyway, what's your number four, Ed?
40 pounds right off.
what's your number four, Ed?
My number four is Start Me Up / Living on a Prayer.
Start Me Up / Living on a Prayer. Is that a season two song? Wow, I would have put that in season one.
No, this was this unlike the Vitamin D episode in season one, this performance could have been great. Mashups could be great. And then this mashup did not live up to the mashup that Halo Walking on Sunshine. It was just tragic.
Oh, yes. And this was the same episode that gave us Stop mashed up with Free Your Mind, which was like my number six on the same way. Here's a bit of Start Me Up, Living on a Prayer.
It's tough. Oh, so tough.
They do feel a little sandwiched together. For some reason, this one...
Like, this one is less of a travesty than everything. Like this one and This Little Light of Mine had redeeming qualities. And as we continue further into my list, less redeeming qualities.
That is kind of how it goes, right? You start at the top and you go like, you know, I didn't like it, but... I'm not entirely sure why. And then you get to the end where you're like, oh, I know why I didn't like this one. Well, this would be my number four. And I'm trying to, I believe this one was from Sectionals. It was their version of I've Had the Time of My Life. It starts off with Quinn and...
I listen to this all the time, Josh.
But let me make a case for it. The
okay,
problem,
make me hate it.
While... I don't have that ability. I can't say that they did anything wrong with this. They pretty much do it exactly like, Dirty Dancing.
Oh, it's because you don't like Sam's vocal line.
No, it's not that at all. The problem is it's so incredibly obvious. The moment was obvious. The way they performed it was obvious. The song selection was obvious. In the episode where the, you know, emotional resonance was... they didn't do anything surprising or different with this song. They kind of just pulled something out of their back pocket and went, hey, you know, I've had the time of my life, fits here perfect. It just and with a song we've heard this many times, maybe not you, but to me, growing up in my life,
I mean, it was just funny because you had the whole like Meredith Grey winning Dancing with the Stars, like he's releasing the single,
Jennifer Grey,
this all happening at once. Yeah, Jennifer Grey, Meredith Grey, Meredith Grey, is that like Grey's Anatomy? And so like you had all this like Dirty Dancing in like a 1 week period, but whatever, I enjoyed it. Period.
Well, here's a bit of I've Had the Time of My Life.
It's fun.
The other struggle I have with this song is, some people don't like Sam and Diana. Cord and Diana. I have absolutely no problem with that. I think they have gorgeous voices in the right setting. But when I compare them to Bill Medley from the freaking Righteous Brothers sang on this song, and Jennifer Warnes, like, you know, they're just too earth-shatteringly good soul vocalists, and then you had these kind of like two white kids. It just, I had a lot of problems with this one. Ed, what was your number three?
This one frustrates me a lot. Mainly, the biggest flaw I have with it is it's almost on par with the previous one, but it was that much more smashed together and gross. Therefore, Stop in the Name of Love for Your Mind. Like, it was like two songs like pushed together with no care of anything except for them being pushed together.
And so, and this was in the same episode. I mean, you picked two from the same episode, but two like right next to each other in the same episode. I guess they weren't really performed one after the other, but they're pretty close in relation. Mashups were rough this season.
Last season with Confessions and I can't remember the other half of it, but that was so good. I love mashups, Irish Mike. Whatever. I put mashups in my top five. No, this I did hate on the mashups when they're not done well, and this is not done well.
Well, here's a Stop in the Name of Love mashed up with Free Your Mind on the Gleeful Podcast.
What is that? Let's go together. Don't be so shallow. I've known of your secluded nights.
I've even seen her maybe once or twice. Yeah, it's just awkward. Those two songs have like no reason to be next to each other.
Exactly. And they didn't change them enough to save it, to like redeem it. So it was just like And like you just like hear the switch and it's like, what are you doing? What? Like stop. Stop. Yeah, stop in the name of love. Just stop.
I remember listening to them perform this one and thinking, I don't even understand the relation between the two songs. Like stop in the name of love.
The only connection was that the males performed songs normally sung by females and the female songs normally sung by males.
Yeah.
But
at least like Start Me Up. I mean, the other one, at least you could argue that they were like both rock songs.
Well, see, that's why it's lower on my list.
Exactly.
It's less egregious of a felony.
My number three song, least favorite of the season, was on Many a Listener's list of top five least favorite songs. And this would be Sunshine Quetesons, As Long As You're There.
I almost did that, but I couldn't do it to poor Sunshine.
Realize there's just no perfect time to confess how I feel. This much I know is real.
Everything about this to me was unforgettable. I spent the entire performance trying to figure out, is this an original or just a song that I've heard and forgotten?
Well, I feel like this has Girls Run the World syndrome, which is where if you listen to just 2 seconds of the song, you're like, okay, this could be good. But if you listen to the whole song, it's a hot mess.
Yeah.
So.
And putting it up against Bohemian Rhapsody is just absurd. Like to think that, like watching this performance and thinking like, no, this is vocal adrenaline.
This is not Highway to Hell level material.
There's nothing about this song that can stand even on the same threshold as Mercy and... You know, and
Rehab, awesome.
And exactly, like you can't even do it. And so that this was what they sold us to be Vocal Adrenaline's top 10 performance. Plus, going into this episode, we've been led to believe that only New Directions is going to be doing originals. And then here's Sunshine with an original. It just, nothing about this song worked to me. I mainly just found it boring.
Moments within it, which is why in the end I didn't put it in there. I wasn't so angry. Like it just felt familiar in a bad way. It's so weird. When writing something you have to be like familiar and unique at the same time. It's like, okay, figure that one out, everybody. But it was familiar, but just not in a good way.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. Ed, would you like to give us a little of your number two?
Pretending, only because I hate the melody, drives me insane.
Pretending and As Long As You're There were the reasons I was nervous about having originals on the show, because they're just trying so hard to be hits that
Pretending's like the antithesis of Get It Right. Like whereas Get It Right has deep connecting lyrics, interesting melody, or at least an interesting enough message and universal appeal, and Pretending is like anti all that.
Here's a bit of Pretending on the Gleeful Podcast.
I stay strong, wondering if we still belong.
though neither of them were in my top five, Get It Right and Loser Like Me just felt so rooted in Glee and so root, like, just the titles and everything about them felt
real.
They belonged there. And I you know, and they're two songs that I've probably only heard three times, but I can still hear them in my head, and I can't do any of that with Pretending or As Long As You're There.
Well, because, like, the reason why these songs are here, like, All My Songs Are There, is because I know that Glee can do well with mashups, and they can do well with original songs. They could be exceptional, and instead of being exceptional, they were not the moment. They were not the moment that they could have been. Like, Pretending could have been, if Pretending hadn't done properly, it could have really have brought some, not closure, but really could have moved the Finn, Quinn, Rachel plotline along, like, for real, not just, like, pretending to move it along, like, what really happened, but actually moving it along. So that's, like, where Get It Right moved along that triangle. So...
Yeah, it. Exactly. Like, if nothing else, those moments were memorable for more than just the song. I don't know. I can't even remember the name of the one they sang after this. That should
Light
be
Up the World.
That should be on my. That's not even on my top five because I forgot it happened.
It wasn't so terrible that I just hated on it. It did make my short list though.
Oh, okay. Well, how long was your short list?
My short list was actually only 10 songs.
Oh.
Well, I'm quite forgiving, apparently.
Well, my number, let's see, we're up to number two now. My number two song I went back and forth for a long time on my number two song, and I didn't want to have like a number two and a number one because they were from the same episode and they're kind of the same song, but I was going back and forth between TikTok and Blame It on the Alcohol.
Okay, I really feel that TikTok shouldn't be there.
And TikTok is the one that got on the list, and this is why. I felt that they brought zero to TikTok.
Well,
I thought
they
brought
change
absolutely
it, but
nothing
you
to
can't,
it.
But they do that to so many songs. They bring zero to so many songs.
They brought zero to
that
it.
That crime alone is not enough.
They brought zero to it, and then it was also in the whole midst of this alcohol episode, TikTok, and that's why I kept going back and forth, because the bigger issue wasn't so much I was unhappy with both of those performances. I thought that TikTok, they brought nothing to, and Blame It on the Alcohol was, you know, just kind of a weird, annoying song that was just awkward in the pace of the show. But the kind of larger issue of it all was just, I kept coming back to the couple of the things that really annoyed me with this season were the alcohol episode and the abstinence episode, where they, you know, you kept having the show having one group of characters that was saying drinking is great, you should totally drink, and then another group of characters saying, wait, we want to be able to do a song about not drinking, and then they never did. And the messages in those two episodes
find
were so
one, and there isn't one. That's the
yeah,
problem.
No, that's true, too. There's a lot of country songs about it, but then they always are like, yeah, whatever. At the end of the day, though, I was really bothered that they took on, with Grilled Cheeses, such a sensitive topic, and in my opinion, did it expertly well. And then they took on drinking and teen sex and just totally fumbled, like, huge fumbles of starting a conversation and then like giving up halfway through the plot and just falling back on stupid jokes.
I feel like the writer in you is being more critical than the viewer in you right now.
Oh, then hey, I'm unfortunately I'm always a writer first. I think the other thing I'm coming back to with TikTok too is that TikTok, the original arrangement is so specific. The auto tunes where they go, the vocal distortions where they go, and they just gave it to Britney and they were like, well, they gave it to Heather Morris and she just created a carbon copy. So for me, number two is TikTok. And here's a bit of that on the Gleeful Podcast.
Ain't got a care in the world, but
got plenty of beer. Ain't got no money in my pocket, but I'm already here. And now the dudes are lining up, cause they hear we got swagger. But we kick them to the curb unless they look like Mick Jagger. I'm talking about everybody getting crunk, crunk. Boys trying to touch my junk, junk. Gonna smack them if you're getting too drunk, drunk.
And Ed, would you like to bring us home now with your number one least favorite song of the season?
Okay, I know I'm going to get, people are going to be upset for me for this, but I can honestly say that of all the songs on this season of Glee, this one upset me the most. It could have been so magical, and it wasn't. And I think that's why, above all else, it's my number one least successful song.
Because it could have been great, but it
could have been, it could have been my number one song of the season, but it wasn't. And it so wasn't that it was my number one least favorite, least successful. Singing in the Rain Umbrella, Don't Hate Me, people.
So why do you think people would hate you about this choice?
Because people apparently love it, but the songs were just thrown together. They needed to affect the tempos so that they went together. They needed to have the voices connect better. It needed to have better choreography. Like so many things could have, like, there's so many things that could have gone right, and they all just went, nothing about it, in my opinion, was right. Like, the choreography, the staging was okay. That was probably the best part. And you know what would have been awesome if they took this, if they took both songs to maybe like a jazz feel, like just take Umbrella. Umbrella's a great song. Like, you could take that song like maybe one more time and throw it into any genre and it'll work. And Singing in the Rain obviously lends itself to jazz. So if you just, like, if you would have thrown them into jazz and then blended it together properly, so good. So good.
Here's a bit, like, of Singing in the Rain mashed up with Umbrella on the Gleeful Podcast.
Here for infinity. When the world has took its part. When the world has dealt its cards. If the hand is hard. Together we'll mend your heart. Cause I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again.
So, Ed, your top three were all mashups.
No, three of my top five.
Three of
were,
your top no, five were all mashups.
Pretending was number two.
Oh, that's right.
Because they did mashups so successfully, and in this season and in previous seasons, that I have a higher level of expectations from them. And if they're put together clumsily and not doing anything to them, I'm gonna count more against that than I'm gonna count against a TikTok remake, because a TikTok remake, at least it was good, and now you're just returning it out. Now you're taking Singing in the Rain, which both were good, and you're bringing them down a level. Like, no, you do, like, you at least just copy it. And I offered the suggestion of where the song should have gone, and I do like mashups. I'm more critical on mashups. That is true.
Now,
why
do you think you're more critical on mashups?
Because, just as I said, because the songs were good, and if they just did a copy, it would have been better than this.
Interesting.
So instead of making the song better or staying on par, they made the song worse, and therefore I'm more critical of mashups.
So it isn't only that they did a bad song; they made a good song bad.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and I'm looking at my top five. And honestly, I'm just going to go ahead and say my number one is a cop out. It's a total cop out, but it is by far the angriest I got all season during any
musical
moment.
Are you doing freaking
moment.
Duck sauce? I'm mad at you now.
This is
a cop out.
This is the angriest I got all season was during this song.
This wasn't a song, though. This was just, they didn't release a license, did they?
Bible study.
Barbra Streisand.
I hated it. I just, and I know it's a cop out because they didn't perform it, and I have to turn it off. I can't even listen to any more of it. I just drives me crazy. It felt like everything that it touched was wrong.
That isn't fair. That isn't a legit song choice.
But is it? I mean, Single Ladies was played. It was not performed.
Yeah, I would have never included Single Ladies in my top 25 or the long list for my top 50. Like, I would never do that. So I wouldn't as if I wouldn't have put California Girls when the cheerleaders performed it. I wouldn't have put that in my top 50. Like it's different.
Well, yes. Yeah. So I know that I'm angering everyone, and it's just every time I made a list, and we'll go through some of the ones that didn't make our list, Ed, because I'm curious what else is in your top 10. But every time I made a list, I just could not. I couldn't get past that song. It was just every time it came up, everything about that moment, the dance number, everything that led up to
it was so much fun.
I didn't have any fun. I was furious. It just I couldn't even stand it. So anyway, I own it. That's my number one. Ed, tell me a little about your number 10. What didn't make the list?
I see you're expecting a lot more work from me than I actually did.
Oh, just curious.
I didn't number the rest. One of the songs that I was seriously considering putting in my five was Afternoon Delight, but I was like, you know, this song actually served a purpose, so I really can't hate on it. So, and I was like, maybe I'm just being too harsh on it. And then Light Up the World, As Long As You're There. That's pretty much there was a part of me that wanted to put Animal and Kiss. I really thought about Kiss, but it wasn't like the crimes that these other songs committed that I'm mentioning were not as egregious as the ones that I did select. So
Kiss barely made my list. A lot of people actually said Bubble Toes.
Which
isn't legit, but it did kind of, it came so far out of nowhere in the course of the show that it was kind of like that number was just, it just didn't belong. And I wrote it down and I go back and forth on it. I mean, actually, it probably should have been in my top five, quite frankly, was For Good. And this is the theater nerd in me is saying,
yeah, I gave all theater songs a pass. Like I really didn't put any of them in my top 50. So I wasn't going to put any of them in my bottom. Like it was like, you are immune to my judgment.
They just don't fall under your heading. The thing about For Good for me is one, I do find the song wildly overplayed. So sue me, but also I think the issue is if you're going to do a song that requires that, like has so much going on, you know, that is a long song and it takes time to gather and the lyrics take time to go. You can't just chop it up for time. You either have to let the song play like, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody, or you need to, you know, just not do the song. And so I felt that the show was just kind of playing fan service to the song because they knew everybody wanted to hear it, and they, you know, but then they chopped all these lyrics out of it and kind of did the song a disservice. So that was definitely,
well, see
I could probably make that my number
one. They took a good song and made it worse.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I'm going to question the first part.
You're saying it's not a good song?
No, I just feel like Wicked is so overdone right now. Like, you know,
it's only overdone if you're playing it on your iPod all the time, Josh.
No. But like if you go on the street and you're like, hey, do you like musical theater? And some kid's going to be like, yeah, I love Wicked. And I'm like, well, that's one show. There are thousands of shows that are, you know, fantastic too, but you know, it's like my cousin, she's like, I love musical theater, and I'm like, really, what's your favorite show? And she's like, Wicked and Rent. And I'm like, dig deeper for me, like let's get off the surface.
So you know how they did the Night of Neglect this year, and last year they did there was an episode where they did Bad Reputation. You know what would be awesome? If they did One Hit Wonder, a One Hit Wonder week.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Like,
that'd
all,
be
like,
fantastic.
I'm just gonna say that I love Bad Reputation. I'm sure that's like completely predictable because I'm sure I've said that in the past, but I really did, and I did like Night of Neglect as well this year. So I think One Hit Wonder would be successful, and within that line, Ryan Murphy, call me. I'm available to write for you.
I think that would be great. A couple of the songs that got picked up the most by listeners in their top five least favorite songs. What I Did for Love came up a lot. Listener Jennifer said, "While I love the song, it is so unnecessary to the show." That one actually was picked up a lot, so much so that I'd kind of forgotten that they did it in the show. So a lot of people had Candles, which surprised me. I thought that would have been a big moment.
I like Candles enough not to even consider it.
A lot of people had Make 'Em Laugh. Mr. Shoe's performance of Make 'Em Laugh. Listener Kathy says,
Mr. Shoe may have not have been on the top 25, but he sure dominated the bottom five for real.
Listener Kathy says, Pointless Dream Sequence that was just a straight copy of Singing in the Rain. Did Matthew Morrison have any decent songs this year? He definitely struggled. He didn't have a lot of big moments.
I also, Immune and I Still Got Tonight, I understood it was an album plug and I just ignored it.
Yeah, like, that was almost on my list and I just went, I didn't even care about
like,
it.
I granted immunity to a lot of things. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to touch theater songs. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think the one that probably surprised me the most was a ton of people had Baby One More Time.
I don't know why. Rachel. I mean, why?
I don't know. Listener Martha says, love everything Rachel sings, but this was just awful. Wrong song for her voice. Too pitchy. You can go on our Twitter followers and kind of search for what people put up there. A lot of people had Baby One More Time. Let's see. This is listener Terry Ann, who says, this cover from the Britney episode was just meh. Leah's voice was wasted on it. It felt like they were only having her sing it because they needed Leah to have a solo in the episode somewhere.
Well, you know, Leah didn't have a lot of solos this season.
She didn't.
Like, straight up, like, Blaine was probably outdoing her, Blaine in the Pips. So, I don't know. Leah did not get that many solos this season.
She didn't.
So, I can't hate any of them because they weren't, none of them were that terrible.
And then I think the last one that popped up a lot, which surprised me as well, was I Know What Boys Like, Lauren Zeisse's performed.
No, see, I felt like it might have been vintage and tricky and like novelty, but I thought that was fine. I thought that's what it was, and that's the purpose it served.
Yeah,
and
I think I kind of agreed for that. Like, it wasn't the best performance they did, but we needed an introduction to that character, and I felt that was kind of the perfect song to introduce us to that character vocally and performance wise. So yeah, I don't think it was great, but it didn't make my top 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's about it for our top five. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find the website over at gleefulpodcast.com and the Facebook fan page. You can find us on Twitter, Gleeful Podcast. I'm Josh Brunell. He's Edward Giogiano. And Jennifer's over at Jenny B Creative. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I'd like to thank we have two. One is named Alexander Fletz. Thank you for reviewing us. And we got, the other person is named Hi Ed. I assume you're going to change your name eventually. So thanks for reviewing us. So it'd be awesome to get more reviews. And I understand that our iTunes, like all of our episodes are in crazy order, Josh, like crazy order. So if you want to fix that, that'd be fantastic.
I don't know how. As far as I know, iTunes just orders the way it wants to order. I have no idea how
they generate
that order.
It orders based on release date. And I know that's what it's supposed to do.
Anyway. Oh, weird. Well, I'll take a look at it, but I can't
no guarantees. Josh may fix this.
Josh may fix this. And that's about it. I don't know what we're going to discuss next week. So listeners, if you have any ideas, go ahead and send them over to us. And we will see... we'll see what we can come up with. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed, I am Josh signing off for Jen.
Shutting down all over the world except when the monsoon strikes. I'm Ed. Peace out.
Good night, everyone.
Zippers and buttons. Fun to frustrate them. They can
Shout out to Becca.
I know what guys want.
That's the Thanks for everyone who listened in the Ustream. Shout out to Becca and Houseaholic and Ms. Rocksteady and Sapien Benishish and a bunch of other people. Thank you.